Well, I told you last week that I had been emailing and texting and sharing with a lot of people as we ended last year and started off this year. And I've kind of put these three words in all of the different messages, trying to encourage people or to minister to them. And I've been reminding them that they have peace, wisdom, and favor. And so I thought, well, you know, I probably need to explain to those folks and others, you know, what those things mean. And so last week I talked about peace and wisdom, and I'm not going to review any of that. I don't have time to do that today. Or I encourage you to go back and watch the service or listen to the podcast on that. Some good stuff there. So let's go into the third daily blessing here is favor. Everybody say favor. Now, one great Old Testament story is the story of Joseph, and it's one of the best stories on favor, really, in the Bible, as far as talking about someone's life. And so let's read a little bit about that in Genesis 39. If you have your Bibles turned there, we're going to start in verse 1. But you know, Joseph, one of the sons of Jacob, he was the one that had the coat of many colors. And if you remember the story, Joseph's brothers were jealous of Joseph. And so what did they do to him? Threw him in a pit and ended up sold him into slavery. They wanted to kill him. The oldest brother had mercy on him, based on the father, I guess. And they sold him into slavery. And so let's pick up the story in Genesis 39, verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph. That's good, isn't it? The Lord is with you. And he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor. But say favor again. Favor in his sight and served him. Then made him overseer of his house. And so that all that he had, he put under his authority. And so it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. And you know, I encourage you to read the rest of that in Genesis about that story of Joseph. And it's amazing. He ends up to be really the most powerful man in the most powerful country at that time in the world, in Egypt. And just the favor in every situation. He's in slavery. He's in prison. You know, all the different things that happens to him and how God's favor promotes him and increases him. So this word favor, it means an act of kindness beyond what is due or usual. So it's like it's over and above kindness. It's something granted out of goodwill rather than by justice or payment. It is a gift of God. It's not based on merit, but on God's generosity in nature. And I like this definition, over-generous preferential treatment. I like that. I'm just having to speak again today. Say this. Say over generous preferential treatment. Doesn't that just sound good? A lot of good words there. Over and above generosity or kindness towards someone, it causes people to go out of their way to bless you, to bless somebody without even knowing why they're doing it. They just feel compelled to bless you. And favor is something that God showers in our lives on a daily basis. And it's really out of his kindness in his generosity. I have a book by Jerry Savelle. He's a minister that we've followed over the years and has been a great blessing to our family, to this church. But he's got a book called Walking in Divine Favor. He lists 10 benefits of favor. Now, with each of these benefits, I don't have time to go through it. It's a good book to get, by the way. But he lists 10 benefits of favor, and he's got scriptures for each one of these. And I'm going to just name them real quick. And if you want a copy of this, just ask me, and I'll send you my notes on this so you don't have to write them all down. The 10 benefits of walking in favor. Favor produces supernatural increase in promotion. If that was all there was, that's a pretty good one. Favor produces restoration of everything the enemy has stolen from you. Anybody ever had anything taken from you? Favor gives you honor in the midst of your adversaries. Favor brings increased assets, especially in the area of real estate. One of my favorite verses, Psalm 44, talks about God's favor, and is the verse that I stood on as we for this building, for this land and this building here. And that's the verse that talks about favor and God granting real estate. Favor brings victory in the midst of great impossibilities. Anybody here facing an impossible situation? Nobody? Somebody? I know you are. It produces recognition even when you seem least likely to receive it. Favor produces prominence and preferential treatment. Talked about that. Favor produces petitions granted even by ungodly civil authorities. Anybody have any legal things going on right now? Or anything you're needing permission from the government for? You need some favor. Favor causes policies, rules, and regulations and laws to be changed and reversed to your advantage. Isn't that something? Even rules and regulations and policies that seem like they're set in stone, favor can keep that to be changed. Favor produces battles won, which you won't even fight, because God will fight them for you. So that's at least 10. There's more. But those are really good examples of the benefits of favor. So favor is something good. Now, peace and wisdom that we talked about, those are things that we tap into. And that's on the inside. And favor involves others. Favor, it's God's blessings coming to you through other people. And that's why this is going to be the more challenging thing, because it involves the will of other people, the obedience of other people. Hopefully people that are spirit-filled people are quick to obey. But even spirit-filled folks have a struggle time sometimes hearing from God. And, well, is that God? Is that me? You know, should I do it? And, you know, how many times have I had the Lord's, you know, was talking to me about this months ago, and I just finally now obedient. And so favor involves others, and so sometimes you've got to have, I probably should add some patience. Maybe I should say peace, wisdom, and patience, and then favor. But God's favor, and so He's wanting you to have it, but he's working behind the scenes in order to get it to you. Now, I'm going to tell you a story that one of my favorite stories that I have. And you that have been here over the years have probably heard it, you know, many times. But it just encapsulizes everything about favor, in one story. So I feel compelled to tell it to you. And if we have new people here, they've never heard it. But this is my story about being at it used to be Augusta College, now it's whatever it's called now. University of Augusta? Augusta University. It's been through it over the years. But back in the day, it was called Augusta College. Now, I graduated from Oral Roberts University in 1988. And Susie and I moved to this area because Susie was disobedient and would not move to Minnesota. No. Because she's got a brain and she doesn't like to freeze that brain. But so we moved. We wanted to be by family. And so we moved here in the summer of 88. And immediately I got back in school and in order to work on a master's degree in business. And which is so brilliant because I had to take not only, you know, my master's classes, I had to take 10 prerequisite business classes to even start taking the master level business classes. And then I had this brilliant idea about, well, I should work in accounting. And so I took additional accounting classes. So 10 business classes, 12 master's classes, and 6 accounting classes, total of 28 more classes after I graduated. I am educated well beyond my intellect. So started on this journey and, you know, working full time and having a couple babies, Maddie Sue and Molly Anna in the process. And so 88 to 92, I really can't tell you what happened during those years. Those are the blurry years. Anybody ever have any of those? It's just a blur. And so I'm coming down to the end of all this schooling, all this work. And I come off a break in Christmas break in Christmas 1991, ready to go into my final semester. After all of that, I mean, this can't wait, final semester. Well, in the chaos of Christmas and all the things that happened, I did not early, I usually did early registration. I didn't register early for my classes. And when I'm getting down to the end, there's specific classes I have to get in order to finish. And so I didn't do the early registration, and so I did registration with all the other common people, you know. And my classes that I needed to get to graduate were closed, meaning that I would have to wait until the fall to take those classes and really to the next year to graduate. So a whole nother year of this craziness. And so I'm at the office working. I worked at Federal. I'm at the Federal Paper Board, International Paper, and I'm at the office. And with fear and trembling, I pick up the phone to call Susie. She's been holding the bag at home, raising the kids, all the different things. And so with fear and trembling, I call her and tell her about my blunder and didn't get into those classes. And thinking, well, you know, this is just the way it is. And, but she basically tells me, call the man. You know what I'm saying? Call the man. She's telling me, you're not coming home, coming in this house until you get this straightened out. And, I know what she's talking about, and so I hung up the phone. I knew what I had to do. I got to get into those classes. And so I began to call different people. But the first person I called was the registrar. He's the guy that handles all the classes. And I said, you know, and so that's a good place to start. So I call him and tell him my predicament, and I tell him my wife and how upset she is, and tell him my whole sob story. I'm really making it dramatic and, you know, just to this guy. And gets down to the end, and he says, no. Can't get in. And then I'm really pleading with him and, you know, really laying on thick. And, you know, I'll come and cut your grass. I mean, I'll come do all this stuff. And no. Well, I got mad. Now, nobody here ever gets mad. And nobody ever here gets mad and does and says things that they regret later, right? That's just me. I mean, in my household, I'm the only guy that does that. Well, I was mad. I was hot. I was furious. And I got mad at this registrar and didn't even say goodbye. Because, you know, that's totally against Minnesota nice. I slammed the phone back when you had the phone with the cord and all that. Remember those? My guy in the next door office came and said, what's going on? And I was fuming mad. I wanted to throw stuff. I wanted to break stuff. And then I sat there for a minute, and then the Holy Spirit began to convict me, which I hate when He does that. You, this man of God, you're Mr. Agape, and all these things you talk about, and here you are treating this guy like that. Who do you, you know? And so I picked the phone back up and called the register back up and apologized to him, and I said, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at myself for my stupidity. Would you forgive me? And he said, no. And so check that box off. Then I called the head of the business school, talked to them. They said, no, can't do anything. Called the head of the master's program. And this is the guy, by the way, that gave me an F on my ethics. Because I had Christian ethics. He gave me an F, told me to rewrite them. So we have this really great relationship. So I call him, and of course he says no. Almost like, no way, almost like laughing at me. That was good, Carol. So then I go from there to the dean of men. Then I go to the vice president of student affairs. I go all the way to the president of the school. I know the lady's name, Martha Farmer. She was the interim president. And so I call her, and you know, and I'm thinking, there's no way I'm going to get in. They send me right to her. And I go through my whole sob story and tell her all the things and how I missed it and all the different things. And then she's like, what are you doing? Why are you bothering me? And then she kind of just really kind of to chew me out a little bit, like, you're an idiot. So I hung up from there, feeling really good. I can't call Susie because I know what she's going to say. She's going to say, call the man. I've been calling the man, and the man's not responding. So I'm like really stressed. And so I step outside of my office and go outside and to really get my, thinking together. And because at Federal, there's like this huge chlorine smell, it really clears the sinuses. So I just took some breaths and got high a little bit on that chlorine. No. I went out there and just started to pray. I'm stressed. I'm not in a place of peace. I'm not in a place to hear from God. I need wisdom. I need to know what to do. And I'm being rejected. And I need to get in because my family needs me at home. I can't go through another year of this. So I just began to pray and got myself calmed down and got to a place of peace and, you know, praying in the Spirit. And I just finally calmed down. And I heard this on the inside. You know, and it wasn't like this booming voice. It wasn't a writing in the sky. It was just we call it a still small voice on the inside. It was my spirit speaking to my mind and said, you need to call the head of the MBA program. This is the guy that gave me an F for ethics. You need to call him, set up an appointment, and go see him face to face and tell him your story again. So I do that. And I'm just thinking, this is absolutely crazy. He's already told me once. He doesn't like me. But I'm just going to follow that, what I heard on the inside to do. Learn to trust that voice. So I set up the meeting. I go in there. I tell him my story. And then he says, this is just amazing. He says, let me call the registrar for you. He calls he told me because he owes me a few favors. He calls the registrar, and they're having this conversation. The registrar's telling him no, and this is what the guy said to me. He said, or this is what I heard this guy say to the registrar. He said, I'm on my knees begging you to let him in these classes. I'm just sitting there in amazement. And the registrar agrees to let me in. Now, that is over-generous preferential treatment. That was the favor of God. And because all the things I did, I didn't earn that. I shouldn't even been there. But that was just the love of God. That was just God's generosity. That was just His kindness. And so this favor is on us. Now, it does involve other people. And you're going to need peace and wisdom to walk in it, because you have a part many times. It may involve you asking somebody that you don't want to ask for something. Because if you've got a trusted friend, and you ask them to do you a favor because of that relationship, they're going to do it. But if you've got to ask somebody that you don't have that relationship, I mean, it's going to have to be based on favor, out of their kindness, not because you've got this special place. I want to give you a current story. The other day I got a call from one of the ministers that we know, Randy Mitchell. And he travels internationally, involved in a lot of missions networks all over the world, and just, you know, constantly going here and there, you know. And we've known Randy. Many of you know Randy. He's been here. So I get a call from Randy. Randy says, I'm working with this, and I knew about the story. He's working with this denomination in Nigeria. It's about 1,000 or more churches, and it's all over the world. They've got churches here in the United States. And just a huge influence in Nigeria and that region, but they have churches in a lot of places. Very influential church called Dominion City. And Randy works with them, kind of as a consultant. He's helping them with some of their strategies and plans. Well, Randy was talking to the head of this group, and the guy said, was talking to them about their administrative area. Their administrator was moved to another area because they're growing so much they needed to move to another area. And they said that they've really been having problems in their administrative area and they needed some help. Well, Randy mentions me and says, you know, I got a friend and blah, 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 and all these different things. And then the guy's name is David, Bishop David, says, well, why don't you have Matt come to Nigeria and work with our administrative team and help us get things in order? I need to really pray about this. But that was, and we talked about it, prayed about it. I'll be going sometime this year to do that and to be a help to them. But that was just God's favor. I mean, I didn't wake up January 1st and said, you know, Lord, I want to go to Nigeria. I want to help this group do this particular thing. That's just favor. Lord spoke to me several years ago about different nations we'll be going to, and spoke to me about going to 50 nations. And at that time, I'd been to 9, and now since that time, I've been to 3 additional ones. That's 12. And, you know, you're like, well, how am I going to make this happen? How's that going to happen, Lord? You know, but just follow Him. Trust in Him. He's got it worked out. And just walking in His favor. Now, that favor is not available to me because I'm a preacher. It's available to you because you're a believer. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. Favors are mentioned 100 times in the Bible, 92 times in the Old Testament, 8 times in the New Testament. Now, the New Testament word for favor, if you've got like a Strong's Bible, on your iPad or whatever, I can pop on that a word, and it'll tell me the Strong's reference in the Greek. Tell me what that word is. And so there's 8 references to favor in the New Testament, and it's the word charis. Anybody know what that word is? Predominantly in the New Testament, grace. So let's look at Ephesians, and grace is used over 120 times in the New Testament. Ephesians 2, verse 6, I'm reading from the Amplified. And he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He did this that he might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come the immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace. Look at what it says. His unmerited favor in his kindness and goodness of heart towards us in Christ Jesus. For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is a gift of God. See, this favor, this grace is a gift. You can't earn it. It's a gift. It's part of our package of salvation. It's because of what Jesus did. And you can never be good enough to earn his grace, never be good enough to earn his favor. It's not by merit. And that's hard for us, especially in the culture that we live, because everything is earned. And I'm not saying don't work hard, don't be diligent. I mean, there's Bible precedent for all of that. But if you think you're going to earn God's blessings and earn his love, you're getting over into the law. It's by his grace. By his grace, by his favor, through faith. And so our job to tap into grace and favor is to believe it. It's a gift of God. Verse 9. Not because of works, not the fulfillment of law's demands, lest any man should boast. It is not the result of what anyone can possibly do so that no one can pride himself in it or take glory to himself. All right, let me talk about grace for a minute. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is God loving us while we're yet sinners. He first loved us, is that right? We didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve what Jesus did. We didn't deserve salvation. We didn't deserve an inheritance. And so, grace, when it's to the recipient, when grace is given, causes joy and thanksgiving. And so, this favor, and this is kind of a little test here to let you know how you know when you're walking in favor, is when you have joy and when you have thanksgiving. So, if you're, and I'm just going to look up here. I'm not looking at anybody. So if you're a griper, if you're a complainer, if you're a negative talker, if you're a person that constantly talks the problem, you have forgotten about favor, or you don't have a revelation of favor, because a person that has favor has joy. Doesn't mean everything's going perfectly, but has joy and is thankful. Now, let's just take today's praise and worship. Today's praise and worship. And again, we're not putting on any kind of performance here. Not trying to make you do anything. But if someone was looking at you during praise and worship, say the camera was on you and we were all watching you during praise and worship, did you have any joy? Was there any thankfulness? Or was it like, I don't like this song. I don't like this worship team. I don't like Nate. How could y'all like Nate? And so joy and thanksgiving is the position of faith. It's the position to receive favor. And so we've got a part to play here. And so grace causes joy. Grace causes thanksgiving. And so grace causes transformation. The Bible says in Romans 2:14, something around there, it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. That word goodness means graciousness. It's the graciousness, it's the favor, it's the goodness of God that leads to change. And I think sometimes we kind of lose sight of things and we now start getting into earning His favor. And that's where we lose the joy. We're kind of going through the motion. We've got to work at it. It becomes hard. His yoke is not easy and His burden is not light. But when you're in there, in God's grace, there's just an ease to it. Again, and there's problems and things you're dealing with. Everything's not perfect. So we need to get, you need to be reminded today of this revelation. You are God's favorite. You are His child. He's made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He wants to shower you today with His blessings. Even if you've missed it. And we all have. We've all made mistakes. But you're His son. You're His daughter. He's got an inheritance for you. And I've just read it here. Let me read Ephesians 2, verse 7 in the Message. Now God has us where He wants us with all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. What's heaven going to be like? Just more of God's grace showered upon us. What's this world, a life like here on the earth, this abundant life that we have in Christ? It's God's grace showered upon us. And the enemy's trying to do everything to get you to forget who you are, to forget who God is. Not trust in Him, trust in ourselves. Grace transforms. Now, what should a transformed person look like? Because if you take this favor, and many in our circles, I've seen them do it, if you take this favor and you just focus on yourself, then it becomes all about me, then selfishness enters in. That's not of God. So you have to watch out for pride, because they'll be, you know, he resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. When you start thinking that these blessings that are coming upon me every day, if you start thinking it's because of you, because you look so good, because you act so good, because you do all the things on the checklist, that's pride. The Bible says He resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. So we're humble about this. And because I want to share with you what's the purpose of favor. The purpose of favor in the Old Testament is found in Genesis 12, verse 2. And so keep this in mind as we're talking about favor here. Now look, Genesis 12, verse 2. Are y'all here still? Or did I lose you? And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you with abundant increase of favors. Anybody like that? Did you wake up today? Today's going to be full of an abundant increase of favors. Who said that this morning? Who was expecting that this morning? Thank you, TJ. And I've seen it. I've seen it in your life, TJ. We'll make your name famous and distinguished. Now, that's all good. That's all about me. But it's all with a purpose, because we represent Jesus. We are His hands and feet. We are His mouthpiece. We represent Jesus to this world. And you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. Freely you have received, freely you give. And so a person that has a revelation of favor is generous. You're not stingy. You're generous. Meaning you go about every day and God showering blessings on you, but you're showering blessings on others. Shouldn't we be showering blessings on each other at home? Shouldn't we be showering blessings to our neighbors? Shouldn't we be showering blessings to our schoolmates and co-workers and people at Walmart? People at Walmart, they really need grace over there. Good gracious. I went into Walmart and gotten so depressed by the customers and by the people that work there. I mean, I had to go out there and, you know, to the parking lot and pray. I mean, it was just so depressing. Nobody, you know. But when you have favor upon you, I mean, you're even doing the cash register. You got kind of a little, I'm favored of the Lord. I'm just going to be dispensing blessings today. Oh, I'm so glad you're here today at Walmart. Did you find everything you need? I mean, and they're like sincere. I'll just say it because, you know. How's your day going? I mean, it's an attitude. And so we sit here and we like wonder why aren't more blessings coming when we're just like griping and complaining and mad at everybody. And we use the most powerful thing God's given us, our mouths, to tear people down and complain and gripe about our lot in life. And then we wonder, well, where is the favor? Well, the favor is not there because you don't expect it. Instead of saying, I'm preaching a whole lot better than you're responding today. Instead of saying something good, I heard this from Oral Roberts, we learned this, something good is going to happen to me today. Man, you start your day off with that. Look in the mirror. Something good. It's not the way Oral used to say. Something good is going to happen to you today. I mean, man, would your day just go better? Turn to your neighbor and say it like I did. Say, something good's going to happen to you today. Something. And if you want to say, something good's going to happen to you today. Something. Something good, something favor, something grace, something goodness, something kindness, something mercy, something blessing, something blessing's going to happen to me today. And I'm telling you, man, I just, you know, have half my face shaved and forget the other half, man. I'm just, man, I want to get out there. I want to get dressed and go to work because something good's going to happen to me. I want to go to Walmart. I'm going to Walmart today. Something good's going to happen to me at Walmart. And it's not just the prices because they're not really lower. I love to get out of the house. Because I could go out and dispense some good. Some of you need, I don't know why I'm jumping. Some of you need to dispense some good today. Some of you need are facing an impossible situation. You need to go write a check. You need to go sow some seed. You need to go do something good for somebody else. Get your mind off yourself. Lord, should I do the chest bump? We'll know it when it happens, the right time. All right, let me give you the New Testament version of Genesis 12, found in 2 Corinthians 9. Just about there, y'all. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. This is about a person of favor. These verses here. This is about a person that has a revelation of grace. We sometimes say, well, you need to be generous and you need to be more giving. But really what we should do is get more of a revelation of who we are. Remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly, it's just like an attitude, just, I could barely spare this, will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone, will also reap generously and with blessings. Let each one give as he's made up his own mind. Purpose is in your mind, your thinking, your expectation. In his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully, under compulsion, for God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, just a joy, a thankfulness. Cheerful joy is prompt to do a giver whose heart is in his giving. It's not like going through the motions. You know what I'm talking about? Just going through the motions. Next verse. God is able to make all grace, every favor, earthly blessing, come to you in abundance. So that you may all, look at these words, always, under all circumstances, whatever the need, be self-sufficient. Possessing enough to require no aid or support, furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Both of those verses are laced with purpose. It's not about me. It's not about me being more comfortable. It's not about me just feeling better and all that will happen. But I'm here to represent Jesus. And if I'm withholding, that's what the world's doing. Now, what would it look like if we had a group of people that realized they were God's favorite? What would it look like if we're walking in peace and wisdom and favor? Really walking and living it. Well, the book of Acts tells us. Acts 4, verse 32. Now the company of believers was of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything which he possessed was exclusively his own. They're not selfish. Everything they had was in common for the use of all. And with great strength and ability and power, the apostles delivered their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace, everybody say great grace.
Great grace.
Loving kindness and favor and goodwill rested richly upon them all. What if Good News Church was known for favor? Verse 34. This is my dream, and I'm not giving up on it. And sometimes it looks like it's impossible, but I know it's not impossible because God says it's possible. If He says it's possible, then it's possible. He makes the impossible possible. Nor was there a destitute or needy person among them. Got to change our expectation. Got to change our believing. Say this with me, everybody. Stand. Go ahead and stand. I'll turn the service over to Nate or Susie, one of them. Just be ready. Say this with me, and you're going to have to change your confession. Don't say, you know, It has been, again, it's based on God's word, but there's got to be an expectation. This is a big year, guys. There's going to be open doors of ministry, and I want you to be ready to step through. There's going to be things done for you and to you that you're sitting right here, you wouldn't believe it if I were to tell you. God wants to do some things in your life and your family and in His church this year, but are we going to believe Him? Are we going to get that expectancy up? Or are we just going to play church and go through the motions and just try to get by? Say this with me. I no longer look at myself. Just naturally. I see myself as God sees me. He sees me in Him. He sees me in Christ. I am His child. I've been made righteous. I am His favorite. He crowns me with glory and honor. I choose this day to walk in His favor. I walk in over generous preferential treatment. I will not let it go to my head. It's not about me. It's because of His grace and mercy. Today, doors are open to me. Opportunities come my way. Now, these next part, if you can, we don't want to get too excited in church. It's very reverential around here. But I want you to put some oomph. Do they say that in the South? Oomph? Yes. Is that a northern thing? Oomph? Put some oomph into this. I am blessed.
To be a blessing.
I am highly favored. To show favor to others. I am blessed. To be a blessing. I am blessed. To be a blessing. Today I leave here. And I go out there. To be a blessing. Lord, help us. Ready? Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. He held back. And He had favor on me. Open doors. Open doors. Open doors. Opportunities come into your house. Be ready, be prepared, be expectant. Don't be amazed at what He wants to do in our lives, what He wants to do in this church. Let's be the favor place, let's be the grace place. And that means we're going to be more generous than ever before. We're going to see more giving, more ministry. Helping others. It's not about us. We're Jesus to this world.